The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to join Miss Charlotte for story time. They'll return at the piece.
I speak to you in the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. Many years ago, I was in the midst of a crisis. My whole sense of identity and purpose felt to be on the line. And in that season, I had a dream. I found myself out in the ocean, way out. I was not afraid, but neither could I see land in any direction. I told my dream to my then therapist, a priest and Jungian, and he encouraged me. "Stay out in the deep for as long as you can. For as in the beginning of Genesis, it is over the chaos of the deep waters that the Spirit of the living God broods and brings forth new life." The founder of Pixar, Ed Catmull, says it this way: "There is a sweet spot between the known and the unknown where originality happens. The key is to be able to linger there without panicking." Between the known and the unknown. With the start of a new year, I'm aware of being in a threshold season. It's January 12, 2025. It's a couple of months since the election, just over a week until the inauguration, a nation in transition, a government in transition, a city in transition, many individual lives, perhaps yours among them, in transition. Close to home, as you may know, I will retire at the end of February. And that date on the horizon, once far off, now appears close, soon. It is time, I believe, to begin to say goodbye. My heart, my soul, and mind are in a swirl. I chose this. It's all good. Sarah and I have parts of a plan. We will move to Redding, Connecticut, where we've just purchased a house. We'll be close to family and to a few good friends, but we'll start fresh in a new community. In time, I hope to write. I hope to create enough space within and around me to allow those parts of me that may have taken a back seat while I engaged in full-time parish ministry all these years, to allow those parts of me to emerge, to take form in the light of a new day. But that's all a ways off. At present, I'm here with you. With you, whom I love and care for. With you, in the midst of this glorious congregation, in all our giftedness and foibles. With you, as we seek to live God's love. With you, I shall want and need to say thank you, to say goodbye, to offer our blessings one to another. We've navigated challenging chapters, and through these, we've shared rich and fulfilling times. I'm glad for what lies ahead, and I'm sad. I'm sad to leave you, to say goodbye. Thus, as I say, a swirl. You also are anticipating this change. There will be an interim season of several months between my departure and the arrival of your new rector. You're in good hands with Joshua, with all the clergy and staff, with the wardens, Gina and Andrew and the vestry, with the blessing of God, the company of one another. And in good time, someone else will arrive to serve and lead, to be priest and rector among you. Our wise church consultant, Susan Beaumont, who knows of such things, speaks of this as a liminal season. She defines liminality as a quality of ambiguity and disorientation that occurs in transitory situations and spaces when a person or group of people is betwixt and between something that has ended and a new situation not yet begun. During liminal seasons, we occupy space on both sides of a boundary or threshold. We have one foot rooted in something that is not yet over, while the other foot is planted in a thing not yet defined, not yet ready to begin. End quote. Now, it's often said that to be a person of faith is to live in the tension of already and not yet. We are already beloved of God. We are already forgiven, filled with grace, saved by Christ. It is complete. Yet clearly, we are not yet there. We have so very far to go. This is not yet the fullness of the kingdom of God. Already and not yet. How is this akin to a liminal season? Entering the waters of baptism, for Christ in his baptism and for each one of us in our own baptism, is to enter into life in the deep ocean waters of the Spirit, to swim out into the depths, to embark upon a way, to trust the best we can muster, both in the alreadiness of our salvation and belovedness, and to strive toward the not yetness of the realm of God. Wrote philosopher André Gide, in order to discover new lands, one must be willing to lose sight of the shore for a very long time. Liminal seasons of any sort feel daunting, disorienting. In such times, it's incumbent upon us to not panic, to not flail and splash about, not leap to assumptions of what shall be, to neither catastrophize nor glorify. Neither is it helpful to just put our head down and power through. It's a time to breathe, to note our buoyancy, to remember that we are beloved, to center ourselves anew in the truths and practices that have sustained us in years past, true to our vocation, our values. It's a time to see who is with us, to take the hands of another and another, the hands of those who offer assurance, and the hands of those who need assurance. Because a healthy transition includes relinquishing, letting go of what has been, that we may turn to embrace a new future. The call of the prophets in the Bible and the records of their activity are not and were not intended to be historical records of actual events. Every time scholars think they've got the details sorted, they run into impossible timelines or conflicting reports. A case in point, Jesus' baptism. The details are different in each gospel. In today's version from Luke, those who select our Sunday readings omitted a few verses in the middle, a few verses that happened to mention that Herod had put John the Baptist in prison. So in Luke's text, John was not at the Jordan River that day, leaving us to wonder who baptized Jesus and where, unless those details are not the point. Because the point is that between his birth and the start of his ministry, Jesus was baptized, entered into the depths, said his prayers, and received the gift of the Spirit. Similarly, our reading from Isaiah. For this passage, scholars cannot ascertain the context of Isaiah's speech or his audience, except that he's addressing the entire community, the people of Israel. So rather than sweat the details, best to say simply that the Bible is true, and some of it actually happened. Because then we're free to read these passages, not bound to some historical past, but to read them as the living word alive in our hearing, in our midst. And this particular passage from Isaiah is a favorite for personal prayer and contemplation. I commend it to you. Words spoken to those who find ourselves out in deep, deep waters. These words, God's words, may be spoken just to you. Thus says the Lord, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom. Yikes, God. A ransom? Given for me? That feels a bit much. How lavish is God's love? Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. It's an abundance. because you are precious in my sight, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. God continues to pour upon you God's love, to pour upon each of us this lavish anointment of love and light. Says Isaiah, yes, it's a liminal season, but come on in, the water's fine. Amen.
Dear friends, through baptism we are born again into the life